Welcome to another Art of Relationships podcast. We are grateful for listeners like you. Let's get right into it.
Well, it's really fun to do these podcasts, Lise. I think anything about relationships, that's what we're about here at Biola University at the Center for Marriage and Relationships. And thank you, Mandy, for the introduction. And, you know, Lise, I think when we start talking about what makes people happy in relationships, right? What gives us pleasure? What gives us joy? And then what takes away from it? You know, we can come up with the big things, right? The thing that will make you most happy, you know, you start with the foundation of who Jesus was, of what your relationship is with Christ. Then you start talking about this great, you know, monument that we're building. You know, it's a legacy for the future. And what makes for happy marriages? Well, there's a lot of research out there about what makes for happy marriages. And then there's a lot about what makes marriages and relationships sour or go south. And I think, Lisa, whenever we start talking about this, one of the things that comes to mind is, you know, we can say, what's the purpose of marriage, right? What is the purpose of a relationship? And a lot of people say, oh, to bring me pleasure. Sure. To bring me joy, yeah, me make pleasure. Me yeah, make me happy. And so when a relationship no longer makes me happy, we would say then, well, maybe this wasn't the right thing. Maybe I made a mistake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things, Lisa, we should talk about in this podcast is we know the big things, right? While, let's say, having an affair may be the final straw, it was probably preceded by a lot of messed up things. And let's just say there's abuse. Well, there are a lot of things that are bad that can lead to the dissolving of a relationship, the ending. You get treated badly. You see the other person isn't kind or whatever. But at least there's one that's really subtle. And I think this one a lot of people miss, and they begin to live their lives in their relationships without really paying attention to this very thing. And it is the word attention. Okay, we all want in a relationship, what do we want? We want to be known. And we want to be understood, right? I want to feel known. I want to feel loved. I want to feel like this other person accepts me for who I am. And so we start off on these great relationships, and they all start the same way, right? Most of them. I really like hanging around with this person. They're really my friend. Why are they your friend? Oh, because they like what I like. And really what they're saying is we have a friendship. We like each other's life, what they do, and they pay attention to me. They notice me. What does it mean then to be noticed? So let me ask you this question, Lisa, and let's start here. When you're in a relationship with somebody, whether it's marriage or dating or engagement, a big key to happiness is the feeling of being noticed, to being known. What happens when we become too familiar with the other person that we begin to not pay as much attention to them, right? It's probably one of the most powerful yet very subtle problems that enters into a relationship. We begin to feel like something's off. That other person doesn't get me. We no longer kind of are connecting like we used to. Life is starting to get in the way. And they almost can start to say, I'm not feeling as much. No, it's almost like they're saying, I'm not being noticed as much or paid attention to as much. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right. And I think back to when you were first dating. Right? When you're first dating, when you're first getting to know, even when you're, quote unquote, dating your friends, you know, you're just getting to know each other, you're talking, you're visiting, and there's a mutuality in that, right? There's the give and take. There's the I'm speaking and you're really listening. You're getting it. You're understanding. We're on the same page. Then I'm listening to you. I really get you. We're definitely on the same page. We have the same values, the same. But the only way that we know we have the same values, that we have the same shared sense of humor, the same mission or purpose in life, is by paying attention. We study each other. We listen. We look. I'm watching to hear what's important to you. Where, what's got your heart and your passion? What do you find funny? What are you worried about? What are you excited about? What's your big project at work or something that you're thinking about? Who are you having a big problem with at home or in your extended family or whatever? That takes paying attention to know the answer to that, right?
I love what you did there too, Lisa, is you modeled what it means to ask questions and want to hear the answers from the other person. I remember, you know, when we were first starting to date, we could spend hours on the phone, and it wasn't like I was, you know, telling you all the great things about me, though that did happen, but it was mostly you asking questions, you know, about me, and then I would respond, and then I would ask you a question about the same thing. Not just simple things, what's your favorite movie, what kind of music are you enjoying this time, you know, how's your studies going, whatever. But it was also bigger things like, well, you know, how's your sister doing, or what's happening with your brothers, or how is life, you know, feeling right now that God is part of it. And then we would just talk and talk and talk.
Or even, you know what, it sounds, because we were long distance while we were dating and until the day we got married. So even when we were on the phone and even first married, I could tell when something was going on, when you weren't doing well, because there would be something in your voice. There'd be like a little micro expression that might go across your face very quickly that I could pick up on, that it'd be like, oh, hey, wait a second, something's wrong. What's going on with you today? You doing okay? And that takes paying attention.
Another way of looking at it, we use the word become a student of your partner. And you don't have to tell anybody to be a student of their friend, right? If you're dating seriously, you simply want to know the other person and you want to be known and it feels mutual. So we become these students of each other. It's like you could look at me and say, something is off. Or, when you said that, your words said that this was okay, but your body language and your emotion on your face seemed like there was a little bit of tension or struggle there. And by the way, it's one of the ways that we become good students is we pick up on the disparity between a person's words and their emotions on their faces, right? If you come up to me, as you have in the past, let's say, and said, or even today, how's it going? Or how did that meeting go? I say, oh, you know, it was fine. And you're like, oh, really? It was just fine? Yeah, you know, it was okay. It was fine. Oh, but then you would begin to look at and study me, knowing me, knowing what it was like. So here's how you are a student of me. You knew that I didn't get very excited about, you know, very big, scary things, you know, like, you know, we have a little accident or, you know, a tire breaks in the middle of the freeway or we get, you know, locked out of some place. Like, okay, well, let's just figure out how to take care of this. It's not a big deal. And then you learned that when something big happened, I remember we were first married, Lisa, and you go like this. You said, oh, Chris, there's a phone call from a university that wants to offer us a position and I'll sit on the other line. And so you were on the other line and this university, actually it was Biola at this case, was offering me a position. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. I remember us standing in our little kitchen in our little rental house in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah. And they said the magic words, we'd like to offer you a position as a professor. And I remember seeing you. I tried not to look at you, but you were bouncing and jumping and so excited on the other line. You weren't supposed to be on that other line, apparently, but you were there. I don't know. And I was just, I remember saying, oh, okay, well, sounds great. I'll think about it and pray about it. Appreciate the phone call, and I'll get back to you. And we hung up, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
You're
like
dying.
Like Tigger, right, from Winnie the Pooh. You were bouncing, 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 bouncing.
This is so awesome.
And I was more like Winnie the Pooh going, okay, well, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And you go, are you excited?
Are you excited?
And that was your first question to me. Aren't you excited? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty excited. This is me. And you go, that's you excited? Like, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Do you want to do it? Like, I don't know. Let's pray about it. It sounds pretty fun. Well, what I think at least we took away from that was you were already a student, but you recognized my reactions and your reactions, and I saw yours. And so therefore, fast forward 6 years later, we are about to have our first child, and that baby pops out. And you are excited, ecstatic. The nurses get excited and ecstatic. And I sit there and go, wow, pretty cool. All right. He's got 5 fingers on that hand and 5 on that. He's got 5 toes on this. You know what? That's great. He's a healthy baby. My wife is healthy. And well, life is good. And you knew that I wasn't going to be one of those men
that is just sobbing, and, as we say, crying and slinging snot.
Yeah,
that was not going to be you.
No, it wasn't. Okay. Now, all that means is in relationships and marriages and things like that, we get to know each other, and we crave attention. Attention is this very powerful thing that we have been given. Attention is almost like it's a gift given to each of us that we get to share that gift with another person by paying attention to them. And the problem is that attention can be divided, right? I can do 2 things at once. I can divide my attention so it can be cut. But what research is showing is that when people divide their attention and believe they can do 2 things at once, actually they're switching back and forth. So I'm paying attention to you in the morning, and you're telling me this great story. And this was just last week. You were going on and on about this great thing that was happening and, oh, this and that, we got to do this, and then we have to do this later on. And I'm telling you, it's like 8 o'clock. I'm barely awake. And I remember just looking at you like, wow, her lips are moving a lot right now.
This is what you're doing.
She is talking a lot, and she's very excited. But I can't even process all this because I just need a cup of coffee to wake up, right? And I remember saying, at least I'll tell you what, that sounds really important. Can we talk about it in about 30 minutes? And
give
you said,
oh,
yeah, give me a minute. Okay, I'll come back. Okay. Here's, I think people recognize that we all can divide attention. We need attention. We desire it. Children desire it. Go look up the still face videos when a parent no longer gives a child attention. That child picks up on it in 3, 2, 1. That's how fast. When the parent shows them a face devoid of emotion, when before that they were interacting and smiling and happy. Okay, what does that mean for relationships? Lisa, attention is one of the first things that gets divided, we believe. And then it also says it's one of the few things that people point to that says, I'm starting to not feel connected to my spouse as much. Think about the word connected. It means we are together, connected, right, face to face. We are here. We're engaged with each other.
Or emotionally connecting. I'm hearing and I'm feeling deeply what's going on with you. I'm paying attention. I'm responding. And I think that you make a great point is that one of the problems is that our attention gets divided. And I think the second problem that we don't even really talk about that much is that oftentimes we're putting out there, hey, I'm asking for your attention. And our partner misses it, or our partner is asking for our attention, and we miss it. We just didn't even read it. It wasn't on our radar. And so we don't respond, or not that we don't respond, but that we respond negatively. That can be a problem. But most of the time, it's that we're not even aware that they're putting it out there that, hey, I'm trying to engage with you. I'm trying to connect with you. I want to, you know, not just talk with you, but like when I say, hey, do I look okay in this outfit? I'm asking for your attention. But what I really mean, too, with that request, or as John Gottman, the leading marital researcher, he calls it a bid for attention, right? What I mean when I say, hey, do I look okay in this outfit? What I'm really saying is, do you still find me attractive? Am I still beautiful to you? Do you still find me desirable? And so it's not only the asking for your attention, but it's the deeper meaning for what we're asking for when we're asking for that attention.
Yeah, and we certainly know that not every single time somebody asks, hey, how does this look? Or are they, you know, seeking that out, let's say your you know, attention at a deep level. But for the most part, it's the things that we lose are those small moments when our significant other says something. It could be small, like, hey, did you see the sunset today? Or, wow, check out that. Or, hey, did you see that? You know, did you hear about this? Well, what we're doing is what we're asking the other person to
connect with us.
Yeah, it's not so much, I don't really care, you know, how if we analyze the sunset and go, oh, yeah, well, it wasn't as pretty tonight, it was last night. And, you know, notice the clouds are different this time. It's like,
or, it's okay.
Yeah, really what?
Yeah. What is most not spectacular.
I think, Lisa, what you're saying is a lot of these desires for or need for attention or bids are simply a way to maintain the connection. I'm here. I notice this, but I mostly want you to connect with me.
Right.
And when we start to miss these everyday, ordinary moments and don't pay attention, that's when our relationship starts to show the fraying,
right,
at a foundational level that most couples miss.
That's right.
They start to, it's almost like this. If I take somebody for granted, it means I no longer, I just assume you'll be there. You're always going to be there. You pick me up on time. We go to dinner. I take you for granted, which means to take somebody for granted means I'm no longer expressing or needing to give you attention because I know you're always going to be there. I take it for granted.
Yeah. Whether or not I give it to you, you'll still be there.
Yeah. And so the opposite of something like taking somebody for granted would be gratitude. And gratitude is recognizing the worth of another person, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if we begin to wrap this present of attention and never give it to the other person. It's like holding on, I really like you, but when I take you for granted, I withhold that. You know, Lisa, when it comes to money, I think all of us want unity with our spouse in the topic of money. We want, you know, to have confidence approaching a topic and clarity because money is a big issue with couples.
Yeah, it's one of the top six that couples have conflict over, right? So we're really thankful for the support of Colby Gilmore of Blue Trust. And Colby, along with other Blue Trust certified wealth strategists, he offers a personalized, biblically centered wealth planning experience, as well as investment management services. And what I really love about him is it is for people of all income levels.
Yeah, we appreciate that they offer this advice. They put their clients' interests first, and they don't sell financial products. And, you know, we have experienced, at least firsthand, the benefit of Colby and Blue Trust's comprehensive, this whole wealth planning experience.
Yeah, we really have.
So we want to encourage you guys to take advantage of this. They're great sponsors of The Art of Relationship and at Biola University. And so take advantage of this transformational opportunity to find out and to find unity with your spouse.
Yeah, so you can learn more about Ronald Blue Trust at ronblue.com or just contact Colby Gilmore at colby.gilmore@ronblue.com.
Yeah, you'll be glad you did. And so, Lisa, let's just cover this last point, and that is, when you brought up the word, this idea of bids for connection, tell us what that means.
Well, really, we gave some examples of some verbal bids for connection,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, give me some examples, yeah.
So it could be, hey, did you see this funny video today? Like, I'm always coming in and showing, oh, did you see that funny video on Instagram? It was hysterical. And, you know, I'm truly usually interrupting something that you're doing to come and show you. That you respond positively to me, usually that bid for your attention, and you stop what you're doing and you watch it with me. And maybe you've seen it before, but you don't go, oh yeah, I've seen it before, and then shut me down. You laugh with me, you look at it, and then you're like, oh yeah, I think I saw that, but isn't that so funny? I'm like, oh yeah. And that right there was a bid for your attention, that attempt to connect with you, and you responded positively. So it can be verbal, it could be nonverbal. A nonverbal one would be holding, you know, reaching over to hold your hand in the car. It might be putting my arm around you, you know, while we're sitting on the bench or something, or just giving you a wink across the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those ways that we connect.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you give a, you know, an example of when I did this well, but honestly, it wasn't until I began, you know, sensing, Lisa, that you and I were going through a dry patch. There wasn't this connection. It was hard. It was soon after that we learned together about the power of what it means to be known, to be paid attention to, and the craving we all have to feel heard, understood, and noticed. Well, so, you know, there were times, yeah, you would come in and clearly do one of the verbal or nonverbal bids for attention, and I would just, it just went, flew over my head. I just didn't pay attention to it. And I think,
just missed it.
Yeah, we
both
just.
Both of us did.
Yeah. And so, Lisa, one of the signs for a couple that needs, that's a negative sign on their relationship, is if they start noticing and they need to go back, if you're listening to this, go think through, am I watching out for these bids, Lisa, that you just shared? Or do I just say, oh yeah, I've already seen that, and shut you off? Or, you know, there were times in which you'd come in and say something, you know, fun about whatever, and I would just go, oh, uh-huh, yeah, and go back to what I'm doing. I think couples could evaluate the strength of their relationship simply on the number of bids that they see and recognize. Lisa, what begins to happen, and what happens in relationships that start to disconnect when it's off? What happens to these bids?
Yeah, well, think about the tennis analogy, right? When you play tennis, somebody serves
the ball. Or today, pickleball, right?
Pickleball, okay. I don't know. Do you serve the ball in
pickleball?
Yeah,
you do.
Uh-huh. Okay, sorry. I'm not a pickleballer. But anyway, so you serve the ball, and then the person across the net hits it back to you, right? And if it's a really good game, then you're volleying, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, that's the way a healthy relationship is. I put that bid for your attention out there, and like walking in the room, and I see you over there, and I go, hey, buddy, and I just even acknowledge that you're in the room. That's putting a bid out there. Now, you have two choices at that point, right? You can hit the ball back, and then we keep going, and that's awesome. But if I keep serving the ball, serving the ball, serving the ball, and you never respond, well, after a little while, I'm going to quit serving the ball. I'm just going to quit trying, because it's not getting us anywhere. And so really what Gottman's research shows is that really happy, stable couples pick up on those bids and respond positively back to them 86% of the time. 86% of the time happy couples do. And so what we see is that the other part of those percentages that are not doing well, that are not connected, they're not happy, they're not stable, they're really striving in their relationship, is that when that partner, you know, serves the ball for attention over the net, They can, an unhappy, unhealthy couple responds in two ways. Instead of responding positively, right, turning towards that bid, hitting it back, they can either turn away from it, which means they just ignore it, like they just don't respond, or they turn against it, which means they respond actually negatively. So it could be something like, I brought you your cup of coffee, you know, in the morning. That would be a bid for your attention, you know, to bring that. And if you were to just ignore it and just, just sit it there. Like, okay. I kind of thought you might say, oh, thank you. Or I was hoping you would say, gosh, you know just how I like my coffee and you're always really thoughtful. Well, that's a turning towards, right? But the turning away is just ignoring it, not even acknowledging. Or turning against would be perhaps being critical. Why'd you put so much cream in it this time? I don't even like that kind of cream. You know what kind of cream I like or I don't like. You know, why'd you do it? It's not even hot. So that's when couples get into trouble, is instead of turning toward, when they tend to turn away and ignore it, or turn against and respond negatively. Those are the couples and the relationships that are really going to suffer.
Lisa, you brought up the stats, and I don't know if you remember it, but you just said that in happy relationships, happy marriages, couples that are doing well, they respond positively 7 to 8 out of bids out of 10. Is that right? What about in relationships if they're not doing well? It seems like there's 1 to 2 out of 10 is what I remember. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So let's say there's 10 bids that a person gives, and you only pick up on your partner's or your spouse's bid, you know, 1 or 2 out of 10 times positively. Well, pretty soon you're going to get what you get, what you talked about, right?
Yeah.
So what does it mean then, Lise, to take this research and apply it?
Before we go there, I'll give this one example. We were just, I think we were in Alabama doing a conference there just a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about this concept of bids for connection, or just paying attention in that way, and the idea of turning towards, turning away, or turning against. And it was really interesting because during one of the breaks, this couple came up to me and they said, you know, this was really eye-opening. And it was the husband talking. He said, you know, we've been married 33 years. We're pretty happy. I'm thinking, wow, we've got this thing down. And then I recognized something. He said, my wife loves to read these certain kind of books or whatever. And she will oftentimes come in and she'll want to describe the book like, oh, you'll never guess what's happening in the story. It's so great. And she starts describing the characters and the plot and everything to me. And my response is usually, and his wife stepped in, she goes, honey, I don't care what's going on in your book. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, I just go, honey, I just don't care. Don't bore me with these details about your book. I know you love it. That's great. But I just really don't care. He said, oh, my gosh, I just realized that wasn't even turning away. That was turning against her bid to connect with me. And he said that was eye-opening for him. And so, you know, but the thing about it is that it's these little, small, ordinary instances of trying to connect with each other. And John Gottman calls them the fundamental basis for emotional connection in our relationships. And so if you find that your relationship is not doing well, and that maybe you're in that place of struggling in your relationship, this could be a really great area to pay attention to in how you yourself are doing. Am I paying attention and picking up when my partner's trying to connect with me? Maybe it's even your kids. Maybe it's, mommy, can we sit and snuggle for a little while? And it's like, you know what? You go take care of your homework. Go brush your teeth. I'm going to empty the dishwasher, and then we can cuddle. And, you know, and then maybe it's too late by the time it's bedtime and you end up going to bed. But what your child was actually saying is, Mommy, will you connect with me? Mom, I want your attention. I just need to be with you. And my response to that was, you know what? I don't have time for you. So it's really important to recognize those bids, because anytime you turn away or against your partner, they're going to feel rejected and unimportant. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Lisa, sometimes bids can go wrong. I don't want to take this too far, but sometimes we can do it the wrong way. Like, I can poke you, right? You know, like, remember, I know there's things now, you know, I don't know how you do it with texting or how you do it. You either like, that's a, you know, that's like saying, hey, your notice, your picture, your story, I see you, you like it. That's a, people put a lot of things out there to say, would you please pay attention? They don't people notice how many people like their, you know, their post?
That's or a great point.
Yeah. And people, you make a post, and if nobody liked it, you're like, am I invisible?
Yeah, you feel rejected.
You feel rejected. So we poke, or we like, or we send somebody a text saying, hey, just thinking about you, or whatever. Those are, you know, that's kind of the nonverbal, or at least you don't have to be in the same room all the time, right? It could be just a text. Mm-hmm. I think when it could go bad is if you have the wrong, approach, let's say, to a bid. Like, for example, Lise, you don't mind if I tickle you, you know, or mess with you, but you don't like it if it gets, you know,
too much.
Yeah. And yet, what I had to learn was, oh, I thought I was just bidding and getting her attention, but we could do it in the negative, the wrong way. You know, we can get their attention in a rude way or an inappropriate way.
Right. Okay. Good point.
So, bids for attention, this idea of needing to feel known and heard and understood is a human quality, a human need in all relationships, Lise. And the ways that we can increase our awareness of this is, one, pay attention. Ask yourself, am I missing these bids? Like that husband who said, you know, my wife's books, who cares what the story is? He recognized, I am missing her bids. And he said, I'm going to change this. In fact, I think I might read, you know, the first book or two just to see what she's talking about. And I guess, Lise, at the end of the day, it's a great way to do a really quick evaluation of your relationship and your own, you know, approach to your partner's bids. What do you think?
I think definitely so, because really when these kind of unresponded to bids, when they get ignored enough and they kind of pile up, well, then your partner really begins to question whether or not you're going to ever be responsive. And then what's going to result is that those bids for each other's attention begin to decline. And that's when we begin to feel disconnected. That's when we sense that, hey, if this goes on long enough, you finally get to the point of, I feel like we're not in love anymore. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. That's where that comes from. And so it's missing those small, everyday, ordinary opportunities that each other puts out there. And so I love that you said one of the first ways to increase those bids is to pay attention. Tune in. Pay attention and know. And do you remember when we first learned this? I remember being at a conference that someone was teaching, a marriage and family therapist. This was decades ago. When we learned about this, it was eye-opening for me. And so when we first started learning and practicing and trying to pay attention to this concept, do you remember that you and I would sit there and whenever one of us made that bid for each other's attention, we would say, hey, bid for attention, bid for attention. It's like reaching over in the car to hold your hand. Bid for attention, bid for attention. But what it did is it served to remind us, he's bidding, I'm bidding. We do need to pay attention to this.
And the word, you know, if you want to know a little bit, that word bid, it just simply means, I think it's taken a lot from this idea of when you play cards, right? And you bid, you say, well, what are you bidding in like the game of hearts, right? I bid X number of cards. And that bid is saying, hey, I'm telling you what I have here, right? And so that idea is we're letting the other person know we're still here. I think, Lise, one of the ways that this is now affecting relationships today, and this will take a whole nother podcast, but it's the impact of the ready availability of social media on our phones and therefore the loss of my being able to pay attention to somebody else because I'm so engrossed in this phone. Mm-hmm. And we always laugh, you know, you go to, and I know it can be funny when you see couples at restaurants, you know, they're like, oh, wow, they're so comfortable with each other. They're just sitting there on their phones, you know, the whole meal. And you look at them and almost everybody who sees that goes, oh my gosh, I don't ever want to do that, right? I don't want to be that person. Well, you order this way nowadays, you're right? A lot of menus are now on apps and but when you do that, you also are opening up your phone and you, oh wait, let me just check this message.
So we
have to always just look at each other and say, let's just define how much the phone is going to be with us tonight or how little, and let's shut it off. And I think that could show you a priority in your relationship is if social media posts and likes that you do are more important to you at that moment than the company of another person that you're with, right? Like, wait a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah, and I think a second thing, not only to pay attention to and tune in to your partner, and that they have a need for my attention, right? And to pay attention, but to see each other's attempts to connect as an opportunity.
Their bids, yes, to see another person's bids.
As an opportunity to connect.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a great opportunity for me to take advantage of, to respond positively. And I think one of the ways that we can for sure do that is when you come home at night. When you come home at night and you're walking in the door, that is your opportunity to connect, to bid for your partner's attention, and instead of immediately with the dog or immediately with the kids, but to do that with your husband, do that with your wife first, and then your kids, and then your dog, right?
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, Lise. And if you're in a dating relationship, it's the same thing. When you're with that person, they get your attention, and you have to watch for that, you know. And of course, there's times where you could study together and not be paying attention to each other, but that's a known rule, right? Like, okay, tonight we're going to just sit in the same room, but, you know, study. Or we're going to sit in the same room, but watch different movies. Whatever. There's no problem with that. It's that pattern over time. So, Lise, let's go ahead and end it. Give us a summary that you have,
Okay, so a summary would be, you know, pay attention to those small, ordinary acts between your partner and yourself, your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, and pay attention to when they're trying to connect with you. Recognize that your attention, your positive response is really important to creating a healthy, stable relationship, and then turn towards that opportunity. And what do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I love it. We've given all of these already, you know, some great points. And so we listed the idea of watch out for distractions, right? It's an opportunity to connect, turn toward. And then if you miss one, begin to start all over again and apologize. Say, oh man, I've been messing up. I want to redo it.
Yeah, so you don't always have to wait for those bids to happen either spontaneously. You can actually make intentional efforts at building those ways to connect with each other. And we call those rituals with me, like ritualistic greetings of when you leave, when you return. Think about, you know, every morning we do certain things, like when you get up, we greet each other. I'm usually up before you, but the first thing we do, I hear you walking down the hall, and I set my Bible study that I'm usually working on, set it aside, and I get up, and we try to greet each other, and we spend time hugging. Tell you, before we leave, we give a hug and a kiss. We touch base during the day. What was going on with your meeting? You know, there are times that we're going to miss it, but the point is you have to be intentional. You have to pay attention. And we're going to talk more about that, those rituals of connection, maybe on a podcast to follow in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, let's do that. Because I think this whole idea is, what a great gauge of your relationship. And if you've fallen short in this area, it's easy to start, redo, and then think through, why have we gotten into this maybe stale, dry, disconnected period? And is it simply, am I able to make this small tweak and start paying attention? Wow, that could sure make for much more positive relationships. So, Lise, I love this topic. Thanks for all those great ways of saying, here's ways to increase. You know, it's just the small things, right? It's just sometimes the little things. So, well, that's awesome. Let's talk again about some more of this, and like you said, in a future episode.
Don't forget to hit that like button. If you really enjoyed this episode, share it with one of your friends, somebody that you think, wow, so-and-so needs to hear this. If they were sitting next to you and you were going to elbow them, who would you send it to and send it off? But we just want to also say thank you to Biola University, the Center for Marriage and Relationships, because they produce this podcast and sponsor it, and we're sure glad you do. So thanks. Have a great
day. Yeah, thanks, Ashley, for running that bad boy machine over there that keeps us on track.
Thanks, Ashley.
All right. Bye-bye. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Relationships. This podcast is only made possible through generous donations from listeners just like you. If you like it and want to help keep the podcast going, visit our website at cmr.biola.edu and make a donation today.